Okay. Zachor Eis Asher Asa Alecha Amalek Baderech Betzeisachem Min Etzroi. Hopefully we'll hear something similar to that tomorrow. There are many things that that we can learn from Parsha Zachor, from the whole idea of the battle of Klal Yisrael against Amalek. I'd like to focus on one of the things. Again, there are many limudim. You could see it in different sfarim and here shmuzim about many different aspects. But one thing that I want to talk about is that the pasuk says in Parshas Peshalach, "Vayovay Amalek, Amalek came, vayilochem im Yisrael b'Refidim, and Amalek fought against Klal Yisrael in Refidim, in the city of Refidim." So the Medrash says, the Medrash Tanchuma says over there in Ois Chaf Hei, in Parshas Peshalach, says, what does it mean when the Torah says that Amalek claimed to Yisrael b'Refidim? Sherafu Yudeyim in Atayra teaches us, Refidim is teaching us, Sherafu Yudeyim in Atayra, that their hands became weak from learning Torah. What does that mean? They were not as diligent and as consistent in their learning Torah. They became shvach in their learning. Ulefichach Amalek ba'aleim. Therefore, Amalek had the power to come on Klal Yisrael because it was Rafu Yudeyim in Atayra. And the Medrash Tanchuma learns from there, Yisoid, She'ein Hasoine Bo, Ela Ayidei Rifyon Yudeyim in Atayra. The enemy can only come and have power against Klal Yisrael only when there's Rifyon Yadayim from Torah. When Klal Yisrael is stark and they're learning, then the enemy is not going to have any power. But when the people of Klal Yisrael, who have a chiyuv to learn the Torah, are not as diligent, not as consistent in their limud HaTorah as they should be, then already that gives a pesach for the enemy to come. So vayovay Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael b'refidim. If they fought with Klal Yisrael b'refidim when it was a situation of Rafu Yudeyim in HaTorah. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction? So it was the Milchama b'Refidim because of Rifyon Yadayim in Torah. So what was his reaction? So the next pasuk, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayomer Moshe al Yehoshua b'chal lanu anoshim. Moshe chose Yehoshua to lead the battle. And he said, you choose men. Fitzehi lochim ba'amalek, go do the battle in Amalek. Why did he dafka choose Yehoshua? The Arachayim HaKadosh says over there in Parshas Peshalach, Nischakei Moshe. Moshe was very wise, he was very perceptive. He realized that the Milchama of Amalek was a Milchama because of Rifyon Yadayim in Torah. There was missing that. Esak HaTorah, Klal Yisrael was not learning, was not involved in the Torah the way they should be. So who's supposed to lead the battle? The strongest Yid around? No, the one who's supposed to lead the battle is Yehoshua. Who is Yehoshua? Yehoshua was the biggest masmid of the dar. Yehoshua was the one, it says, Lo Yamish Mitoicha Oil, he never left the oil of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was always learning, he was always right there with his Rebbe. So because Yeshua had that schus that he was the one who was Oisek Batayra on the highest level, he was the biggest masmid, the one who was the Oisek and Yogeya Batayra, so Moshe Rabbeinu said he's the one who's going to lead the battle. If the enemy can come only because of Rifya and Yadayim and Atayra, that weakness, that being lax in the Limud Atayra, in the Esek Atayra, the one to fight the battle, the one who's going to win the battle, is Yehoshua, who's Lo Yomish Mitoicha Oil. I remember that one Shavuos, I was visiting my Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Shariyeli, and he said over this Arach Hayim HaKadosh, that if the Milchama of Amalek was a Milchama Keneged Torah, because of the Rifyon Yadayim in Torah, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu chose Yehoshua to fight the battle, because he was the biggest masmid, he was the one who was Isaac in Torah. So he asked, Rabbi Shariyeli asked, in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Michal Yudah Lefkowitz, Shlita, if that's the case, if it was a Milchama HaTorah, so why did Moshe choose Yehoshua to lead the battle b'chlal? Moshe Rabbeinu himself should have gone and led the battle. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Noisin HaTorah. Zichru Torah, Moshe Avdi, it's called the Torah of Moshe. The Torah was given Api Hashem, B'yad Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who wrote the Torah, gave over to Klal Yisrael the Torah. So Moshe himself was the Torah, the greatest Klal HaTorah that you could find in that generation. Of course, it's true that he chose Yehoshua over everyone else in the door, but what about Moshe Rabbeinu himself? If it was a Milchama of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu himself should have led the battle instead of sitting on the side and choosing Yehoshua to lead the battle. So Rav Asher said over from Rav Michal Yudah Lefkowitz that Enoch and Ami, Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher madrega than Yehoshua in Torah. However, when it came to the Esak HaTorah, the hard work in Torah, the Yegiya in Torah that was needed to fight against Amalek, Amalek came for the Rifi and Yadayim that lacks in a person's Esak HaTorah, in a person's working hard in Torah. So the koyach that we needed against that was not just chashivus in Torah, a high level in Torah. It was someone who was Isaac in Torah, who worked very hard in Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that that was important for Yeshua to lead the battle, even more than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Because Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah mipi agvura. He had the best Rebbe. Yeah, he learned from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. So there's no such thing as trying to figure out the shir and trying to figure out what did the Rebbe mean. When you hear everything from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself, it's full clarity. There's nothing hard about that shir. Mashenk and Yeshua was the first one who learned Torah from a Basav Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu, but Lamaisa was a Basav Adam. It wasn't like learning from Hashem. If that's the case, Yeshua had to work hard to understand the learning in a certain aspect even more than Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, when it came a Mulchama of Rifyon Yadayim, Sherafu Yadayim and HaTorah, and they needed that Koyach of Esak HaTorah, of working hard to understand the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu felt Yeshua was more Mesugal than even Moshe himself. Lamaisa, there is a Yerushalmi that says, Yerushalmi at the end of Ahirias, that says, Moshe loy misyageya b'talmud Torah. Moshe was not misyageya. We spoke about yageya. Moshe was not yageya b'talmud Torah. Yehoshua nisyageya b'talmud Torah. Mordek Yerushalmi ulmolei hakosav oimrei, hiyaf shal oimrei, right? Say, Moshe was not misyageya b'talmud Torah. That's what Yerushalmi says. Moshe was not nisyageya b'talmud Torah, and Yehoshua was nisyageya b'talmud Torah. He worked hard. The Mepharshim say, right after north, the Pnei Moshe and the Yerushalmi, ki Moshe kibla mipi agvura. Moshe got the Torah mipi agvura, so it wasn't so difficult. He had to understand it, he had to try hard to learn it, but to understand exactly what did the Rebbe mean and what's exactly the darkest stick of this Svara, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have, that level of Yigiyah, because that he heard straight from Hashem, Yeshua nisyageya b'talmud Torah, because he learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's already mefurish in the Yerushalmi, so it's nitin le'yomer, but that's the pshat, when Moshe Rabbeinu chose Yeshua, it was because Yeshua had that level of Esek HaTorah, even more than Moshe Rabbeinu had, because Yeshua learned it from a basav adam. And Esek HaTorah, the involvement in Torah, the working hard and understanding, that's really all that Hashem wants from us. We make the bracha every morning about Torah, what do we say? Hashem commanded us, Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvayisav, the Tzivonu Lasek V'divrei Seir, Lasek, to involve ourselves, to be engrossed in the learning of Torah. It doesn't talk about the end results, Lahavin, to learn, to understand. No, Lasek V'divrei Torah, all Hashem wants from us is that we should be Isaac in Torah. It's a word of the Chavetz Chaim, we say by Yassim, Anu Amelim U'makabim Tzchar, right? We are Amel, we work hard and we're Makabim Tzchar. We get reward. V'heim Amelim V'heim U'makabim Tzchar. They work hard and they don't get reward. Chavetz Chaim says, do you know anyone in this world who works hard and doesn't get wages? But people work for free? Everyone gets Tzchar. So we get Tzchar in Olam Haba. They don't get Tzchar in Olam Haba. But everyone is Makabim Tzchar. What's the Pshat? So the Chavetz Chaim says, no. In Parashas B'chukai, Pshat is like this. Anu Amelim, we work hard. We get schar for our hard work. Doesn't make a difference what the end result is. You could work an hour on a tesis, and you come out not understanding pshat in the tesis, and you have schar for an hour of learning tesis. Mashenkin, if someone works in the business world, and he works very hard, but he doesn't sell the product, he works very hard, but he doesn't have the end result, he doesn't get anything for it. He doesn't get any wages for working hard. He gets wages for the result. A person who has a business, he has to produce. If the person just works hard and doesn't produce, he's ain't a makabel schar. Whereas by Torah it works exactly the opposite. Hashem doesn't care what the end result is. That's all siyata d'shmaya anyway. Anu amelim u'makam b'schar. We work and we are makam b'schar. That's what Hashem asked from us. Lasek b'divrei Torah. Truth is, before we learn Parsha Zachar tomorrow, we're going to read a whole Parsha about Karbanos. Find many times the Nusach in Karbanos and Parsha Vayikra that it says that when you bring a carbon, it's a reach nichayach l'Hashem. It's a pleasant fragrance, a reach nichayach l'Hashem. So the last Mishnah in Menachos, and Daf Kuf Yud, says that it says reich nechayach by all different types of karbanos. It says by a karban of an animal, a behema, a karban that's a bird, an oif, and a karban mincha, the cheapest karban, a little bit of flour and oil. It also says reich nechayach. What's the idea by all these different types of karbanos? A behema is very expensive, an oif is cheaper, and a mincha is garnished. A mincha is a few dollars. What could a mincha cost already? It still says reich nechayach. So the Mishnah teaches us. It teaches us a very important yisoid. Echad hamarbe, the echad hamamid. Whether you spent a lot of money, whether you spent a little money, it doesn't make a difference. You have to do what you can. If you can't afford the most expensive carbon and you buy the cheaper carbon, it doesn't make a difference. The main thing is the kavana. The main thing is sheyichavin libo lashamayim. Who brings the carbon mincha? Carbon mincha is usually brought by a poor person who can't afford another carbon. So the Gemara Menachas Dashens that by carbon mincha you'll see tomorrow in the beginning of Perek Beis, it says v'nefesh kisakir, a soul, a nefesh kisakir. And the Gemara Dashen is that when a poor person brings a carbon mincha, so then it's as if he's makriv his nefesh. Hashem says, who brings a mincha? A poor person, he can't afford an animal, he can't afford a bird. So ma'ala ani alav, Hashem says, it's considered ki'ilu hikriv nafshah. That's mamish what we call mesiris nefesh. Sirus Nefesh, that he's giving his Nefesh, he's giving whatever he could. And Hashem says that that's a Reach Nichoyach, just like the wealthy Gvir who buys a chash of an animal for his carbon, because the point is not the end result, the point is not what we see with the eye. The point is that a person should do whatever he could, and that's the way it is in Talmud Torah. Those who are learning Brachas now know, the Gemara Brachas Tafei Amidei says, about Talmud Torah, that expression of Echad Amarbeh, Echad Amamet, it doesn't make a difference if you can't accomplish in Torah the same way you used to, one Amora said to another. But V'vad Sheyichavein Liban HaShemayim, the Iker is, Sheyichavein Liban HaShemayim, you do whatever you could. And there's a big Kasha. Kasha is asked by Rishonim, there's a Rishon called the Arzeruah. The Arzeruah has a sefer on different Masechtas and on Halacha, and the Arzeruah in Hilchos Kriyashma, in Simon Vav, yes, Akash, it says Echad Amarbeh v'Echad Amamet l'gabei Talmud Torah. He says, is it true? It doesn't make a difference how much you learn. Echad Amarbeh v'Echad Amamet v'Ovad Sheyichavein Liban HaShemayim. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos at the end of the second parak says, Im lamata Torah harbeh, noisim l'chos chayar harbeh. If you learn a lot, you get a lot of chayar. If you learn a little, it sounds like you get less chayar. What does it mean, Echad Amarbeh v'Echad Amamet by a carbon? You could say that. But how could the Gemara and Brachas say it by Talmud Torah? So the Arzeruah says, listen to a Rishon explaining Pshat in the Gemara. So he says, the Arzeruah says, Adam shetarach b'Torah, person who works very hard to understand the Torah, kol ma shehayu yochel l'trayach, as hard as he could work, he used all his koiches to work hard to understand, af al pi shelo yola b'yodai yola davar muat, even though he only ended up accomplishing a little, understanding a little, nois niloi, Hashem gives him schar, ki ilu tarach, ki oisai shetarach kamoisai, like that person who worked just as hard, v'ola b'yodai harbe, and he accomplished a lot more. The lefum tzara agra. The schar is according to your tzar. In other words, lagabi the havana of Torah, accomplishing, understanding, and learning. That's what the Gemara means. Echad amarbeh v'echad amamet. Whether you grow up to be the biggest goyin in the world, or whether you grow up to be a simple person in learning, doesn't make a difference. As long as you're doing what you could, as long as you're trying to understand as hard as you could. Echad amarbeh v'echad amamet. Uvavat sheyichavein liban HaShemayim. This that it says in Pirkei Avos that it all depends how much you learn. That depends how much koichas you put in. Im lamata Torah harbe. If you try to learn hard, you spend many hours, you devote extra time to it. So then, if you don't put in many hours, if you take more breaks than you really should, so then you get less chav. But what the Gemara says, Echad Amarbeh v'Echad Amamet, the Arzeruah says, that's referring to the Havana and Torah. Where does the schar come? Because the person accomplished the learning, or because he was mitzayer himself and he worked hard? Says the Arzeruah, Lafum tzara az. According to the tzar, is the schar. So the schar that a person gets is according to his tircha. And this is something that's so important to keep in mind, especially now. This is the koyach that we have against Amalek, is the Esek HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Amalek coming, and he chose Yahushua. Why did he choose Yahushua? Because Yahushua was the one, LaYamish Mitoicha Oyel. That one who was excelled in the Esek HaTorah. These days, we have a chiyuv, remember Amalek, Zachar, remember what Amalek did to us. And in the Tkufa of Zachar and Purim, we want to erase the name of Amalek. So how do we destroy Amalek? You know, the Minchas Chinuch says that it's in mitzvah tafresh dalit, the mitzvah to destroy Amalek, to annihilate Amalek, says these days you can't do that. How do you know who's an Amaleki? Even if you think he's an Amaleki, but Sancheirav already came and was Mavalva, it's called Olam, all the people in different countries that really come from other countries. So you go Basarai, you can't say on anyone that we know that this guy comes from Amalek. Who knows where he comes from? So how do we annihilate Amalek? It's almost impossible. How do we do it? The answer is, I'll tell you what we're saying, we have a very easy way to annihilate Amalek. A person should get involved in learning Torah and involve himself as much as possible in Esek HaTorah. When a person learns Torah, memela, the threat of Amalek will dissipate. Whoever he is, wherever he is, it doesn't make a difference. But Amalek comes from Rifei Nidayim and HaTorah. How do we fight Amalek? With someone that's LaYamish Mitoch Oil, someone who tries his hardest and spends as much time as possible trying to learn Torah, Esek HaTorah. When a person does Esek HaTorah, then we could be Machas Zara Amalek. We'll destroy Amalek because they'll memela fall away, even if we don't know who they are. We're approaching the Tkufa now, coming up in the next few weeks, that some people have already given a name and a title called Seif Zman. Unfortunately, when I was growing up, I guess I should say fortunately, I never heard of such a musig. The yeshivas that I learned in were in-town yeshivas. There weren't people traveling 3 weeks before the Zman is over. And when the Zman was over, we found out which day the Zman was over. The Zman was over. I can't say you learned the whole Ben Zman, but till the end of the Zman, it was the Zman. Just like in high school, you did it till the last day. So in Beis Medrash, you're there till the last day of Zman. But recently it's become more in style, Seif Zman, especially people learning in Eretz Yisrael, already by putting, making tickets, going back to America. people already decided and making Bein Hazman and plans. You have 1 foot out the door already by the time Purim is there. An extra Adar, maybe you have an extra foot out the door. Maybe all the mathematicians can make a cheshbon that really if it wouldn't be an Ibriyar, it's already Nisan, it would be already Bein Hazman, so the whole thing is extra. Everyone, Saves Man, it's already like, becomes a whole mood of Saves Man. It's unfortunate because at the time of the Saves Man, the time of Adar, where we learn about Parsha Zachar and we're fighting the Zerah Amalek and Haman, so Adarabu, that's the time where a person is supposed to be mischazik as much as possible in Amela Satayr. And yes, it is the end of his man when Adar is over. But Kolzman that there is Adar, a person has to realize that when he's in Yeshiva, he should be trying as much as possible to keep to the Sidra Yeshiva and put in the extra hour, because the Esa Katayra is the way we fight Amalek these days. It's not just a Zaytika thing that a person has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This is the way, and it's the only way these days that we could fight the Zara Amalek. And when it's Ben Azmanim, it's Ben Azmanim, but a person should not spend his last few weeks planning on what he's going to do after he finishes cleaning for Pesach, where he's going to go, and the Cholamay trips, and who he's going to get together with. That'll be enough time, Ben Azmanim, to decide and to discuss. But a person should take advantage of the last few weeks in Adar to be Yogeya Bataira as much as possible here in the atmosphere of the Yeshiva. The truth is that Haman knew this. Haman knew that the Esek HaTaira of Klal Yisrael will bring his downfall. And therefore, the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Tezayin on the base, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira of the Simcha of the Sassan Vikar, that Pasuk, with the Nes of Purim, what happened? The Yidden had Oira. The Gemara Dashens Oira Zu Toira. And Rashi says, what does that mean that the Yidden had Toira? She Gozar Aleim Haman Shelo Yasku Batera. Haman was Goyza Shelo Yasku Batera. We heard from a Ravam Guru this week, from Nemoisha, who came here to say a shir. So he said, of course, the main zera that Haman had was Lahashmid Laru Gulaabit, to annihilate the goof of Klal Yisrael, to get rid of Klal Yisrael. But in addition to that zera, it says Beferish here in this Gemara, Shagazar Aleim Haman Shelo Yasku Batera. What does that mean? If they were all going to be killed, of course they're not going to learn. What does that mean they're not going to learn? So he said, no. The Gzeira that they were going to all be wiped away was on the 13th of Adar. That was many months later. This was taking place in Nisan time. And that was a Gzeira for many months later. But he was going to that right away. After night, they were going to send out messengers, Mavoyalim, Udchufim, running to send the messengers that he didn't have to stop learning. Because Haman knew that if he wanted any chance to get rid of Klal Yisrael, he had to take away that Tzchus of Esek HaTaira. That's the Lashon Rashi. Gazar Haman Aleim Shelo Yasku BaTaira. They should not be Isaac and Taira. If Yidna Isaac Patera, there's no way that Yud Dimal Adar is going to come and they're going to end up destroying Klal Yisrael. It's not possible. We have to right away first close all the yeshivas and stop everybody from learning. And then Haman understood that then it's possible to beat Klal Yisrael. How did Haman know this? Because you have to study the enemy before you make battle against them. He learned it from Amalek. Amalek had the Mesoira that when it's Rafa, Yudayim and Atara were able to come. Once you have a Yeshua and a Klal Yisrael that's involved in Torah, so then we're finished. And there's no way we could start up against Klal Yisrael. So Haman knew the only way was to get them Rafa, Yudayim and Atara. So of course the Gzeira wasn't just that they shouldn't learn. The Gzeira was to destroy their goof. And that's why we celebrate with the goof. But the Gzeira had to come along with the Shelo Yasku BaTaira, that they should not learn Torah, because we understand, Haman understood, that the Torah protects and the Torah saves Klal Yisrael. The Liman HaTorah that a person has is his best, is his biggest schus and his best protection. Said by the time when there was a Muhammad in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the people went to the stipler and there were letters to the stipler. What should we do? Which kapitel of Tillim do you say in times of Muhammad? Everyone had their own ideas. So someone wrote a letter to the stipler. It's brought down in a sefer called Toldos Yaakov on page Kuftes. A sefer that's written about different things that happened with the stipler. They wrote a letter to the stipler, which kapitel of Tillim should you say in times of the Muhammad? And the stipler writes back very sharp, Ha'ikr lahar bois batayra. Don't worry about which kapitel of Tillim you're supposed to say. The main thing is that you should be machazik, yisidra yeshiva lahar bois batayra. He brought the Gemara in Makkas, of Yudam et Aleph, that says, Oim deis hayu raglenu, b'sharayach Yerushalayim. What's Oim deis hayu raglenu? The Gemara says, Mi garam l'raglenu shayamdu b'mochama? Who caused our feet to be able to stand strong in Mochama? Shara Yerushalayim shayu oiskim batayra. That means, what's our greatest chus in the battle? What's our greatest kayach? What should we do? He said, yes, after davening, you should say the following kapitel of Tillim. He answered that question, which kapitel they should say. But don't think that your whole day you should stop for Seder and say Tillim because there's a Muhammad going on. Adarabba, when a person is involved in the Esek HaTorah, that is the key against all enemies. Hashem said this to Yeshua. Anyone who has started a Seder in Navi knows already right in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, it says, what did Hashem tell Yeshua in Perek Aleph? V'hagisa b'yayim v'layla. Famous pasuk, many people don't know that. It doesn't say it in Chamisha Chumash Torah. It's a pasuk in Yeshua. V'hagisa b'yayim v'layla. You should be involved in learning Torah yayim v'layla. Ki oz tatzliach esterachecha v'oz taski. If you do that, if you're involved in Torah yayim v'layla, then you're going to be matzliach. Then you're going to be looked at as someone wise. Then you're going to have all the hatzlacha and all the mochamas against all the kings that you're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua already knew this. This was the same Yehoshua, lo yamish mitoich ha'ayil. He ran the battle against Amalek. But Hashem told him now, as he was taking charge of Klal Yisrael, that this has nothing to do with Amalek per se. This is all of your hatzlachas and mochamas and anything that you want to accomplish in life, the ikar has to be for hagisa b'yayim v'alayla. And therefore, it's not a wonder, it's not a pellet, that in the heat of the battle, when Yehoshua was in the middle of battle, it says, Gemara Megillah Darshan, that it says, Vayolan Yehoshua b'layla ahu b'soicha emet. What was Yeshua involved with during the heat of the battle? The Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Malamit shelon ba'oim kashal halacha. He was fearing night seder. He was ba'oim kashal halacha. He was living in it. He was lon ba'oim kashal halacha. He was living in the and he was being oisik b'ter. What's the pshat? He's oblivious to his surroundings. There's a whole mechama going on. He's doing, no. Yeshua was well aware of the surroundings. And he said, listen, if we take our sword, they'll take their sword. What do? Let's be kaveh ashtak and night seder. He was sitting and learning a sugya in the Gemara, and that was the biggest success. Why? Because that's what Hashem told them. V'agisa v'yoyimon v'layla, day and night. During the day, they were very involved in Muhammad. They couldn't learn too much. So he said, okay, v'layla. You have to learn at night. V'yolon v'layla ahu b'soich ha'emek. That it says that he was lon bo'im kashal halacha. That was the biggest chus then in the battle. It sounds so clear. It sounds so mafurish that our biggest chus against Amalek, our biggest chus against any enemy, against any danger, any problem, is for a person to sit and learn. However, you'd be surprised that this is something that very, very few people in this world understand. Without getting involved in any political issues, does anything sound more absurd and more foolish that the Israeli government is working so hard to try to draft the Yeshiva Bachram into the army? They're fighting all the old rules that the Yeshiva Bachram should have a patur from the Israeli army. What are they trying to say? Why should he be exempt? Because he's a student. They have many students. They're missing the boat. It's not their fault. They were never taught. But they're missing the boat. The whole Haganah, the whole protection of Klal Yisrael in any Milchama is that there are people who are sitting in Oisik B'Torah, and that's what the Bnei Yeshiva are doing. If you take away the Bnei Yeshiva, you take them out of the Beis Medrash, you don't have anyone being run for Oim Kashal Halacha, and you put them all in the army, it'll be the most unsuccessful army Eretz Yisrael ever had. Not because the Yeshiva guys don't know how to fight. It should be begun. They know everything, but that's not the point. The point is that when the Yeshiva Bachar Ma'alon Bo'ayim Kashal Halacha, the people who are involved, Yoyim V'Layla, V'Hagisa Bo'Yoyim V'Layla, then that's the biggest chus that Klal Yisrael has. And yes, if everyone was sitting and learning Yoyim V'Layla, we wouldn't even need the army. There wouldn't be any Milchamas. But it's not going to be that way, so we have to have an army. But to draft the Yeshiva Bachram, to work with the Yeshiva Bachram, should have to go to the army. That's something that's mamish ludicrous. And it's something that at least we as B'nai Torah, the Miyat, Shebi Miyat of the world and of Klal Yisrael, we have to understand that if the Muhammad of Mamalek was led by Yeshua, the Lon Bo'en Kashal Halacha, the strong night seder, was the reason why Yeshua was able to conquer Eretz Yisrael from all the kings. And it's something that we as B'nai Yeshua, B'nai Yeshiva, in this month of Adar, in the month of destroying the Amalek and the Zera Amalek, we have to be mechazik ourselves in the Eisek HaTorah and not fall to the Ruach of Soif Zman. We have to take advantage of our time as much as possible. It's something that when we hear a lot about it, so we can admit that it's true and we can understand it. But there's a big difference for Yodata HaYoyim. A person has to know the facts. These are the facts. The Torah is what protects. And then there's the next step, which is a lot harder, which is called V'hashevoisa elovavav. But after a person knows something, you have to internalize it. You have to take it to heart. The truth is, I once saw in Svarim HaKadoshim that this is one of the biggest yesodos of Amalek. To separate between the V'yadata HaYoyim, between the knowledge, and V'hashevoisa elovavav. A person could know something, but just don't internalize it. It says by Esav. Amalek comes from Esav. And Esav HaRasha, he was there by the Kvura of Yaakov Avinu, and Chushim Ben Don chopped off his head. And Chazal say that his head was buried in the Maras HaMachpelah. Besides the four couples that are buried in the Maras HaMachpelah, Esav's head is also buried there, not Esav's body. So the Svarim talk about why was Esav's head zoichet to be buried in the Maras HaMachpelah and his body wasn't? The answer is his head was Gan's Kaddish. He knew Yir Shemayim. He knew it from Avram Avinu. He knew it from Yitzchak. His head knew everything. It was the head of one of the Avos HaKadoshim. But his guf was a guf of Urasha. His guf was a guf of Esav. That guf had no shaykhus to the Maras HaMachpelah. That was what Esav passed on to his generations, that you could know everything. But don't leave, don't take it to heart. It's nice ideas, you could say shtikel of Torah in the mitzvah of Avos Hashem and Yedias Hashem, but don't internalize it, don't act upon it. That was the side of Esav, why his head was different than his guf. I once saw that that's why Amalek is Mirashan Malika, the Nem Lamed Kuf. It's also in this week's Pasha. What's Malika? Those of you who started the Pasha, you take by a carbon that's a bird, so the Kayan takes his fingernail, his right thumbnail, and he's Malik. He hits in the back of the neck, in the bird's nape, and he does a Malika, and it separates the Rosh from the rest of the body. That's the idea of Amalek. Amalek is Milasha Malika, to separate the head from the rest of the body. Your head can know everything. You can learn all the Torah about Avas Hashem, about Mitzvah Hashem, and all that. But don't do V'Hashevois Elav Avecha. Don't bring it into your heart. Don't internalize it. Esav's head was Kaddish, but his guf was a guf of a Rosh no Shaykh Sramara Samach Pehla. That's the idea the Zera of Esav are trying to do to us. Not just that they live by that, but they want us to live by that. Learn your Torah, understand everything, but don't apply it to your everyday life. We have to know that all the Yesodis that we learn, the fact that the Torah protects, and the Torah is our biggest chus against all the enemies, even though it doesn't seem that way. It seems like fighting is the biggest chus. No, but the Torah is the biggest chus, and we have all the makaris for it. It's something that can't remain the Adata Hayom, can't remain something that we know, something that we have to live with, we have to act upon, and we have to take it to heart. The day of Purim itself is extremely busy. As we all know, especially this year on a Friday, it gets even busier. Friday is always a short day. But surely when it's Purim, so like Kalish mentioned before, a person has to remember to be mekayim all the mitzvahs hayom. If you go to shul in the morning and at night, so you'll mele hear Kriyas HaMegillah, you have to hear Ka'alofa. A person has to hear Kriyas HaMegillah. But then comes the day, a lot of people are involved in collecting or family or whatever it is. You can't forget to do the mitzvah of Shalach Manas. A person has to make sure to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shalach Manas Yishlereyehu. Matanis Lev Yoinim, I would suggest a person take care of that beforehand. There's usually gabon that go around, you're able to give. You have someone giving a boy by Yoinim and you're down. You don't have to worry about it on that day. Go find an Evian in the street. You take care of Matanis Lev Yoinim. And then the Sudas Purim, no one will forget. That's of course. But there's another mitzvah that's not one of the four mitzvahs Hayoyim, but it's a Mufurish in the Ramah. And the Ramah says in Tuf Reish Tzan Vihei in Hilchos Purim and Sif Beis, Toiv Laslik Ma'at Batoira Koidim Shayaskal Hasuda. It's good to be Isaac a little bit, Ramah is realistic. Ma'at, a little bit in Torah, Koidim Shayaskal Asuda. What's that? Where does it say that? Usmach Ledover? Usmach for such a thing, says the Ramah. La Yehudim Hoysa Oira V'Simcha. Yidden had Oira and Simcha. V'Dashinan Oira Zu Torah. And the Ramah means L'Choira Oira Zu Torah. And then the Simcha Siyantif, the Simcha of Purim. But before the Suda, a person should be involved a little in Torah. It's not easy. Person has to daven, when you daven with a minion Purim morning, best I would recommend, before you leave the shul, open up a Mishnah Berurah, learn a little Hilchos Purim, open up a Chumash, learn a Pasuk, open up a Gemara, learn a piece of Gemara, before you step foot out of the Beis Medrash. After you step out, have experience a few more years than you, it's not going to happen. And if it happens, I'll come to you for a bracha. But it's very unusual that a person the day of the Purim could stop everything and sit and learn. These days, these yeshivas, Mordechai, Atzadik, all over the world, people are learning with their kids. But the Gavaldik, Kiddush Hashem, it's something that's so unusual and something that's such a chiddush. But on Purim, where we are trying to be machas to Zera HaMalik, we're trying to have Anitzachan over Haman. And how do we do that? With the Loyamish Mitzvah Oil, with the Schus of Torah. We have to make sure that it shouldn't be Rafu Yedeim in HaTorah. The whole concept of Seif Zman. If I had to define it, I would call it the Zman of Rafu Yedeim in HaTorah. That's what it means, Rafu Yedeim in HaTorah. Adarabi, the time of Purim and the time from Purim and on until the end of the Zman, we have to fight the Rafu Yedeim in HaTorah and be mechazik ourselves. It's taka the time to think about Ben Azmanim after the Purim. But it doesn't mean to think about Ben Azmanim to plan I will follow my trip. It means you have to think about Ben Azmanim. Let me arrange a chavusa while I still have guys here in the yeshiva. Let's arrange a chavusa for a little bit of time every morning. So I shouldn't lose every single thing that I spent my whole Zman on learning Bar Metziah. I'll spend a chavusa an hour a day chazing Bar Metziah. Let me get a chavusa, another bachur who's coming home from yeshiva who lives in my community. We'll learn a half hour a day Hilchos Pesach. I don't know anything about Hilchos Pesach. We'll learn a Mishnah Berurah. We'll learn a Hilchos Pesach. He set up learning beforehand. He set up learning a Chol HaMoed. What about the Haggadah? You know, most little kids in the elementary school know more than us about the Haggadah. Why? Because it's been more years since we heard from our Moras all the Pshatim and the Haggadah and all the Pshat and the Makas and everything that happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Unfortunately, in Beis Medrash, we don't have Shir and Haggadah and all different Pshatim on Yantif. So fine, so you'll have one or two things, but the kids feel it much more. So I'm going to have a chavrusa over Ben Azman, and we'll sit and learn every single day 15 minutes a Haggadah that has a good pirish in English or in Hebrew or whatever it is, and I'll come to the Leila Seder, I'll appreciate Pesach. A person taka has to think about Ben Azman, but not having one foot out the door of Esa Katara. Adrabah, furthering his Eisek HaTorah and thinking in a responsible way. Also, like Rama says realistically, Tov Lasik Ma'at B'Torah, don't plan your entire day, Bein Azmanim, first Seder I'm going to learn with him, second Seder I'm going to learn with him. It's not going to happen. A person has to plan realistically. I have a chavrusa, not the guy who misses first Seder during his Zman, because he's not going to show up in his Zman. The guy who's learning, whether it's in this yeshiva or another yeshiva, and he's learning shtak, and you get a hold of him, and you say, listen, Bein Azmanim, could we learn every morning from 10 to 10:30, we'll learn Haggadah. Or from 10 to 11, we'll learn above Metziah. Chazah, the Bekiah is above Metziah. Whatever it is, a person has to think ahead, like everything in life. But surely in Bein Azmanim, a person has to plan in order that his Eisek HaTorah should not go for nothing. And that will be the biggest protection from all of our enemies and from all our any danger over Bein Azmanim and in this Tkufa. The Beis Yosef, who's Rabbi Yosef Karo, the one who wrote our Shulchan Aruch, had a very big schus. He was a Moridik Tzaddik, and he had a big schus to learn with the Magid Meisharim. The Magid Meisharim was a malach that Hashem sent down to learn with the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, when he reached a certain madrega, was zeichet of it. And it's not something that we just have the Messiah, that this a fairy tale that happened. The Beis Yosef wrote over everything that the Magid told him. We have the Sefer. It's called Magid Meisharim. The first Magid speaks. This is that was way back. The Beis Yosef writes the Sefer called Magid Meisharim, and it was everything that the Magid taught him. And it's stuff on al Torah, and it's married to Kizak, and most of it is al Derech HaKabbalah, Sisri Torah. What's the Malach teaching him already? But teaching the Beis Yosef. But this was something that the Beis Yosef wrote a Sefer called Magid Meisharim. There are some understandable things in that Sefer. And I saw once in the Sefer Magid Meisharim in Parshas Vayakel that he says an incredible thing. That it says in Masechta Megillah, something, an expression we might be familiar with, that the Bnei HaKfarim, the people from the village, they support the people in the big cities with mayim and mazin, with water and food. So the Magid says, yeah, that's true on a simple level. That's what happens. The people in the village supply water, mayim and mazin, and the people shebekrochim. But he says this concept in Torah has a deeper meaning also. They say it right in Parshas Vayakel that this is what the Magid told him. That it has a deeper meaning. The bnei akfarim, the people in the small village, because of their high level of Eisek HaTorah, people in smaller villages are on a higher level, they're misapti mayim umazin, spiritual sustenance, and water and life, mayim umazin, they supply lachem shebekrochem. The people in the kfarim, in the small towns, are usually on a higher level in their Eisek HaTorah, and therefore, it's amazing chat in the Gemara, misapti mayim, this is bederach soid, obviously, sisrei Torah, that bnei kfarim, because they're more chashav bederach klal than the people from the big city, then the Sapta Mayim Umazin in a ruchniistic way, they sustain the people in the Bnei Akraf in the big city. Says the Magid, what's the Pshat Haka? Bnei Akfarim, because you come from a small town, you're the underdog, so therefore you become more chashav. What's the Pshat? So an incredible thing. He says two reasons. He says, first of all, there's usually better air in small cities. There's not as much pollution as the big city. So the Avir is Zach, Ubar, it's a clean air. So he says, Shmaitza Bo Itzlusa. A person learns better when there's clean air. You go to the mountains or you're in the suburbs. It's cleaner air. Mar Megillah says, Shmaitza Bo Itzlusa. So people in the small city often learn with healthier air, not pollution. So that's the Santa Zach that the Magid the Malach will tell this to the Beis Yosef, that because there was better air, therefore the Bnei Akfarim to be more chashav. But he says another thing, and this is why I'm bringing this in. He says that the second reason why Bnei Akfarim are usually more chashav than the Bnei Akrach is because the Bnei Kfarim are not caught up with the Chemdas HaMamon that you have in the big cities. What do they do in the small cities? They plant a little, they harvest a little, whatever you do, and the rest of the day, the rest of the year, the person's learning. So in the big city, there's a whole business mentality. They're running from one thing to another, and there's tall buildings, and everyone's running, trying to make a buck, and trying to sell this, and trying to buy. There's a whole business mentality that there is in the big city. When someone is a Bnei Kfarim, it's much more simplistic mentality. He does what he has to do, he makes a living, he has enough to buy bread from the neighbor, and that's it. So he says that the Bnei Kfarim, Bederech Klal, are people who reach a higher level of Eisek HaTorah because they have less distractions, they don't have that business mentality of the big city. This is something that the Magid Meisharim told the Beis Yosef, and that's why the Bnei Kfarim often steig more than the Bnei Akrach, and therefore the Bnei Kfarim are Mesav Kemayim Umazin in a Ruchniistic way, La'acheim Shebekrachim. There's a Maisa actually that happened almost 100 years ago. In 1909, they wanted to start a kollel in Mitzuyanim. Someone, you ever hear of Wysocki Teas? Wysocki, he was a Yid. Wysocki, he was a very wealthy person. His mishpacha had this, they made these teas, that we have these days, Wisatsky teas. So this Yid Wisatsky, he wanted to start a Kailul Mitzvah. And he had a few choices where to start the Kailul. In those days, when you had a Kailul in a city, so the Rav of the city was the Rosh Kailul, he was in charge of the Kailul. So he had three choices. One place he wanted to start was in Brisk, or he wanted to start it in Vilna, or he wanted to start it in Panovich. Nice lineup, right? Where you could start a Kailul. Either in Brisk, in Vilna, and Panovich. So who is he going to ask? He went to Reb Chaim Brisk. He went to Reb Chaim in 1909, Tafresh Samach Tes, to write down the story, that he went to Reb Chaim Tes, what's the best place to start a Kailul? So Reb Chaim said, listen, for a Kailul to work, we need a city that's mesugal for a Kailul, a good city, a city that doesn't have such distractions, and you need a good Rav. So he said, in Brisk, you have a very good city, the city is mesugal. But the Rav, Reb Chaim was the Rav in Brisk, he said, the Rav is not so great. He says, in Vilna, you have a Gevaldige Rav, Reb Chaim Oiver, Gevaldige Rav, but the city's not so great. Vilna was a big metropolis, it was a very big city, so it's not such a city that's mesugal for learning. He said, in Panovich, you have a great Rav, Abitzel Panovich, and you have a great city, there's nothing doing in Panovich. So start in Panovich, and Taka, this was the Kailul Mitzvah, the Wisatsky Kailul Mitzvah, was in Panovich, under the Panovich, under the Abitzel Panovich. So what I want to bring out is what he said about Vilna. In Vilna, you have a Chashav Rav, Reb Chaim Oiver, but the city is not mesugal for the Kailul. What's the pshat? Because when you walk out of Kailul in Vilna, there's a million things going on. You say, look at these people making money. Look at these guys with the fancy suits. Maybe I should make money. Well, what am I sitting here in Kailul doing nothing? So Reb Chaim said, no, a Kailul has to be in a place where there's no distractions. It reminded me of this Beis Yosef, B'Shem, the Magid Mesharim, that in the big city, there are a lot of other things going on. It's not as mesugal for a person to steig in learning. The Bnei Akfar, they don't see Vilna. Bnei Akfar, you're in there outside, you see this guy plowing, this guy planting, this guy harvesting, and that's it. You get your money, you get your crops, you sit down and eat wheat and barley, whatever you eat, and then that's it. And then right there, you go back to the Beis Medrash and learn. So we all have come here to Waterbury to learn. So Baruch Hashem, we're in a place that's managed mesugal for steiging, besides being a gevaldig yeshiva, a great group of bachem. It's a city that's not the metropolis. Surely if you ask anyone in New York, Waterbury is not considered the main city. The distractions that there are, of course, a person can find, if he searches for problems, he can find distractions anywhere. But if you just hang around the Yidden in the city of Waterbury, you should be in good shape. The Yidden are not in too many bad places. It's not like the streets of Flatbush. I'm not saying anything bad against Flatbush, but if a person doesn't stay around the Goyim, stays around the Yidden, that does not make him safe in Flatbush. Unfortunately, there are Yidden doing things that a person shouldn't be doing. But over here in Waterbury, if a person doesn't search for problems, a person could really focus on the mentality of Bnei Akfar, that you stay in the Beis Medrash, and what else is doing in the in Waterbury besides the Beis Medrash? So now there's Bnei Shalom also, fine, so you have a minion there, but there's not much else going on over here. There's not a pizza shop, there's no place to go. A person should take advantage of being in a place that's mesugal for learning, in a place that where he can maintain the mentality of Bnei Akfar and realize and not lose focus of what the Ikar Chashivus. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that's about Esek HaTorah. In addition to fulfilling our tachlis, it's also, as we said, our best protection. In these days, are the days of Purim, the days of Parsha Zohar, we have to be nesoyer and not lose the focus of what's so important. Whether we're from Bnei Akfar, whether from Bnei Yair, it doesn't make a difference. But that Esek HaTorah, that Chashivus HaTorah, to realize that this is something that's so important for us, it's our greatest protection against any danger, against any enemies. This is something that we have to be nesoyer to when we read the Parsha of Amalek, and we realize that the Mechom of Amalek started Berefidin, started because it was Rafu Yedei Min HaTorah. And the fight that we could do against Amalek these days, we have no idea who Amalek is and where he is. But one thing we could do, we could try to be Mechazik from Shabbos, Parsha Zohar, and on, try to come to the Siddurim on time and keep our chavrusas and be mechazik in Torah. That's the way we could best be machris the Zera Amalek forever. Let's just end by saying that today is Zayin Adar Sheni. It's the yahrzeit, the birthday and yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, 120 years apart from each other. But this is the day, the birthday of and yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. A person's supposed to think about Moshe Rabbeinu on Zayin Adar. And the Or Chaim HaKadosh tells us right in the beginning of Parsha Tetzaveh, that he says in the name of the Zohar, that there are four Goliaths, and the four Goliaths are redeemed in the schus of the three Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu. The first Goliath was redeemed in the schus of Avram, the second in the schus of Yitzchak, the third in the schus of Yaakov. The fourth Goliath, which is the Goliath that we're presently in, the longest Goliath of them all, that we're going to be Nigal and Mitzvah Shem in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Chaim HaKadosh says, that's why, he says it in the name of the Zohar, that's why this Golus is taking the longest time. You know why? Because we need Moshe Rabbeinu to help us be redeemed. The Ein Moshe Chafetz Ligol Am Batlanim Min HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu has no desire to redeem a nation that's Batlanim Min HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave the Torah. Ein Moshe Chafetz Ligol Am Batlanim Min HaTorah. Therefore, this Gula is only going to come if we have the Schus of Esek HaTorah. When people learn Torah, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, this is a nation that I want to redeem. So the last Golos, this is the Golos that we're in, when we want the Rebbeinu Shalom to bring the Geula, person has to mention and remember Moshe Rabbeinu on Zayin Adar, and this Tkufa right before Parashat Zachar, and the Tkufa of Purim, and the Tkufa that's not the Soif HaZman, but the Tkufa that's really what the whole Zman led up to, that a person should realize the Chashivas HaTorah. Through this we should be Zoicha to wipe out the name of Amalek forever, and with the Tkufa of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem should bring us Mashiach and the Geula Shalom.
Amen.
Thank you.